Welcome back to the Maniac Radio Show, everyone. I'm Senior Airman Bridget Rosignol, recording from Home Station Training Week at the 101st Air Refueling Wing in Bangor, Maine. We have a little bit of a different episode today where I actually sit back and I let you hear from Captain Matthew Rochette of the 101st Air Refueling Wing and Lieutenant Colonel Gary Jordan of the 243rd Engineering Installation Squadron while they take on our third episode of Wings of Fire. If you're unsure what Wings of Fire entails, it's where our guests ask each other questions on leadership, experiences, and other topics, all while eating chicken wings that get increasingly spicier as the conversation continues. We hope you enjoy this episode as much as they enjoyed these wings, and spoiler alert, for their sake, it's a good thing you can't see them cry towards the end.
All right, welcome to the third episode of Wings of Fire. I'm your host, Captain Matthew Rochette. I'm here with Colonel Jordan. We're going to be taking a high heat sortie going forward. Conops are pretty simple. We have 10 wings, 10 different nuclear sauces, and a deep dive into your leadership and throughout your career, all your experiences. So I appreciate you being here. Well,
thanks for the invite. I want to be clear that I'm the third person. I was expecting the list to have been a lot longer by now.
No, you're only the third.
All right, I'm excited to be the third person to take this punishment.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. We're going to test our intestinal fortitude and we'll get started.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to take it pretty slow. This will be kind of our pre-flight check, I think, right now. So
we'll start with delicious and work our way through destroying.
That's where we'll go.
All right.
All right, so here's the first one. Choice is yours.
Okay. All right. Do we do the cheers thing?
Yeah, sure.
It's a little bit weird. Cheers. Cheers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's delicious. We're going to all taste this way, right?
I wish. All right, first question. Every vet has that kind of funny, humorous story. Give us your one of your go-to stories.
So I'm going to go with the most recent one that I've got. So we recently had an exercise out at Bog Brook. Brought out the whole 265th Combat Comm Squadron out there. And when we were out there, we got a last notice, a last-minute request from the sapper sapper company. They wanted to come out and they wanted to use the field while we were already out there. We already secured, we already leased, rented the entire facility, and they wanted to come in last minute and just, quote unquote, don't worry about us. We'll just be in the middle. We'll just go hang out in the tree line while you guys are in the dorms, while you guys are using the wet chew, while you guys have all the other resources. We're just going to hang out in the woods. And you go, if you guys aren't going to interfere with us, that's perfectly fine. So we let them, co-use the facility while we're there. First thing they notice when they drive in. So recently, the main Joint Force headquarters, they decided that they needed to revamp the bathrooms that were there. So unfortunately, like a week before we got there, they demoed them all. So of course, as a good Air Force officer, the first thing that we did was we brought in a mobile trailer with mobile showers and mobile water, because that's what we do for our people. Army drove up and saw that, and they were just completely shocked that we were okay with bringing in those kinds of resources. Fast forward, as we're moving through the week that we're there, we've got a couple of good senior NCOs and good NCOs that like to take advantage and like to create as much havoc as possible. And the best part is, and I'm the commander at this time. I'm also the senior ranking person. If anybody doesn't know, Army is very rank conscious. Air Force we are too, but not nearly the same level. I was also the senior ranking person on site, which I think gave us some anonymity, some defensibility at this at the end of the day. But as we're moving through the week, some of my guys really wanted to go mess with the Army as much as possible. So middle of the night, we're a combat comm squadron. One of my NCOs, Tim Morris, and a crew of senior airmen decided to go and approach their ECP in the middle of the forest and say, hey, I need to talk to your company commander. He needs better internet out here, and that's what we're going to provide you. So the ECP just lets them through without, and I feel bad for them as I'm outing them, lets them through without even a second guess, second talk. It's just another person entering the compound. This is perfectly fine. Tim Morris walks up there, walks up to the command's tent, literally just grabs the guide on and looks at the airman and says, run. And so he takes the stuff, runs away as fast as humanly possible, and nobody did a thing that entire night. So they ran away. Our guys are on like high alert, high concern. There's going to be retaliation. There's going to be something else. They had no clue. The next morning, I won't mention the first sergeant or at the time, I think captain, I won't mention their name, but next morning they came out to just say hi, and they walked out to our field tent, and we have their guide on posted out in front of our facility. And I won't use the words that the first sergeant used, but he looks at the captain, he goes, "They have our blank guide on," as he's looking at me and he's looking at the captain, and I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you, man." So we did this nice little exchange where we took a whole bunch of photos and a whole bunch of incriminating evidence as we handed them back their guide on. And we spent the rest of the week on high alert, really worried that they were going to mess with us back. And they never did, fortunately.
No retaliation.
I was truly shocked. So well, that was a good event.
I like it. Those kind of things are always fun. I appreciate that. I see it. All right. We forgot to put the sauce on our last one.
Like, oh, we're gonna do a little. Okay, I mean that was just flavoring, so that's fine. There's right. No.
I was actually kind of surprised about
it. It had a little heat. It did, but it was good flavor. I loved it.
Awesome flavor. All right.
Hey, that is not a dab. You smothered.
All right. Cheers.
Let's do this. Cheers. Well, it's not bad at all.
Nope.
I like barbecue sauce. I like it.
Some of them, I wonder if you get a little. Afterburn.
Oh yeah, the delayed hit. Yeah.
Historical leaders. I love reading books about historical leaders. If you had to pick one, that'd be like your North Star, the one that you admire, would follow in the footsteps, would love to pick their brain. Who would it be?
Can I pivot and cheat and say like the most? Let's see if I knew his name, I would actually go with one. Like the most inspiring leadership, like Jocko Willink. I mean, it's not historical. The guy's still around. I mean, he's now marketing and selling a lot of things. Hopefully that doesn't get us in trouble. A lot of good stuff. But yeah, so like I love his books. And I love, like, especially his children's books, ironically. We've gone through the entire series of Warrior Kid with my kid.
Really?
If I could recommend anything to anybody that has young military children, I'm going to say 7 to 10, probably. Such great books, inspiring. Really try to show not only responsibility, but how you get after things. It's that extreme ownership at a child level.
Okay.
And so I really like that model. Accountability, extreme ownership. You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, I've got a quote. I don't know if it'll ever get me in trouble. I always say it takes a team to fail. You know, it tries to put that opposite spin on it that,
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, I love that afterbirth.
You know, it's not. It never was one person that caused a thing to not happen. There was a chain of events, a link of anybody could have made this thing go. And so when you know somebody's taking that hit, that they're the one that was ultimately the person that was responsible. It's like now, at the end of the day, I'm responsible. But yeah, we could have all done better. So you know, let's just work together as a team so that you know next time we don't fail as a team.
Yep.
So.
I like it.
So yeah. Jocko.
Extreme ownership. It's on my reading list. I haven't gotten to it yet. I am reading a book that he recommended about Hackworth.
Okay, yep.
It's huge. What's that? About Face?
Okay.
About Face. It's a huge book, so I'm slowly talking my way through that, but it's very good so far.
Awesome.
About Colonel Hackworth. All right. Next sauce.
What do we got? Nope, not even going to try to pronounce it. It is Loco, though.
All right. Can you pinpoint as a listen member or as a commissioned officer, when did you were like, okay, I'm in these boots now and it's on me?
You know, I don't know if it's changed. I think my tact has changed and my desire to support has, the change for me is before as, you know, this is going to sound so bad, you know, as a captain, I felt as though I had a duty to try, but I didn't have the final responsibility. So, like, if I failed, it was, oh, I got a story. Okay, that one. If I failed, it was because somebody else made the choice and I can move on. Now, if I fail, I feel personally accountable, personally, I feel like a personal failure. And so, my favorite story, they're no longer in, so I can fully say it. Well, you know, when I first got in as lieutenant, I had I think she was a senior airman. She got married in tech school. She was already in the guard. She got married to an active duty member. The active duty member was going to Aviano. and she asked, "Hey, boss, can I do quarterlies? Can I go to Aviano, be with my husband? We'll work it all out. I'll come back." And I was like, "Yeah, of course you can. We can make this work. I mean, this is the most valid reason I've ever heard. Of course you should be able to do this." So I went and sold it to my boss, and I got told no. It's like, nope, we can't handle quarterly drills. It affects training, affects our readiness. We need this person here. I'm like, well, the person's not going to be here, and the person's going to leave. So that also affects our readiness. So yeah, help me out, boss. What? We're going to accept red via vacancy versus accepting red via quarterly drills. What's the thought process? Like, nope, I need you here for the UTAs. That member left my unit and went to another unit right next door, ironically, to the 265th. And I'm like, I don't understand why we do this to ourselves. And, you know, it's just an example of not taking care of our people. And in some cases, choosing irrational decisions that then eat at me. You know, if that person had ended their career as a wholesale, I would have felt like we just missed as an organization. So, yeah. So for her, shout out to Tech Sergeant Kelsey Toll, who is still in the 265th. She has still not come back to the 243rd, and her career has moved on quite nicely, and she's had a lot of great opportunities since.
I feel a little angry there, but it's all right.
Yep.
All right, next wing.
Right.
You're on the Sriracha.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know if they're, I didn't look at the Scoville or the Sriracha, but I mean, I have Sriracha every morning, so... And that's mostly a joke, but I do have it a lot.
I don't eat sriracha.
Really? I'm on any sushi I have, sriracha is my go-to. Oh, I'm glad we don't do this in the winter, because chapped lips and this, that would be game over. All right,
here we go.
I mean, it's better than the standard sriracha at a restaurant, but...
All right, if you had to pick out one mentor in your career, someone that stands out, really shaped you, molded you...
Mm.
Is him or her props right now?
I'm gonna still go with Colonel Hinckley. You know, current. I think he's in the A3 role currently up at Joint Force Headquarters. You know, we're both. You know, he's a nuclear engineer down at the shipyard. I'm an electrical engineer by trade. We've got in the engineering world, we've got a bad rap for black and white reading of text. Like, that is what we do. We're almost as bad as FM and almost as bad as almost as bad as lawyers. You know, we're in that group of we read things and we deliberately read them. You know, we read them and go with them. And it took me a long time to break that mold and try to move over to an intent-based decision model. You know, why was this written? Not what does it say, because we all know, non-attribution to the Air Force, people write some pretty bad policies on accident. Their intentions were good, but sometimes the intent doesn't match the words, and how do we get that to where people are doing the correct thing with the correct intent, with the correct goal? So Colonel Hinckley, and he would probably be able to say who the person he got it from. I think it was a Navy admiral. But the term malicious compliance, he's always got this example of you're a train conductor. The train manual says never stop on the bridge. Never. You do not stop on the bridge. And then you're the train conductor one day, and you're looking out there, and the bridge is on fire, and it's got a gaping hole in it. And the answer is, well, the rule said don't stop on the bridge, so you got to press on, right? You go, well, no, that is not why they wrote that rule. There is a time and a place to deviate. So he started to really help mold me into understanding that when do we need to follow the rules? When do we need to evaluate the rules? When do we need to revisit the rules and go push and go fight back to say, hey, listen, this isn't what they meant. This is what they meant. This scenario is fine. We need to move forward as an organization and choose the right choice.
Yep.
So
I agree with that. Definitely have to look at the intent behind the rules and what is an important. Does it make sense
and,
in situation in that context?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so far we're doing good.
Yeah. Huh. Into number five, so I think
it is exponential though, so you know, hey, yep. Whatever.
Rojo. I don't know what Rojo is.
It's red. Red. Right?
Yeah, yeah, Rojo is red. Los Calientes.
Yeah, we just indicted that we're from Maine. Okay.
languages were never my strong suit.
Well, good. My eyes are sweating now, so we're up to that.
How do you find as a leader that you're finding that balance and getting their trust and building those that culture within your unit? That very strange dynamic, unique dynamic.
Yeah, so that one's interesting because I think I've, and I hate it because the perspective changes depending on what your roles are in life. So I'm hoping it's not just my opinion on what's changing. I'm hoping my members feel this too. But we've seen a huge cultural change over the last 20 years, not only in how the military wants to employ us, but I think in also how our members want to be employed as guardsmen. You know, if you were to have asked me back in, you know, 02, you know, do I want more time in the guard or do I want less time in the guard, balancing it with my civilian employer, I'd be like, I got enough going on. I don't need more. Today, I want a little bit less on my civilian and a little bit more on my military. It's providing more opportunities, more experiences, more diverse experience. You know, I feel as though, and it was one of those challenges that I still give to all my members because I want to say I'm borderline insecure about it. I'm worried that I'm tasking my members too much, but the problem is they keep volunteering. And like we tend to do most of our activities down in South Portland as a volunteer model. You know, don't get me wrong, if we had an essential mission, you know, we would definitely, you know, compel people, but 99% of our taskings, our list is full of volunteers. And I'm always like, hey guys, when do you want me to say enough is enough? We've done too many missions this year. And then another, you know, so like prime opportunity, you know, Chile, we're going to support Texas's state partnership program. They had a short notice tasker for XCOM resources down in Chile. What member is going to say no to going to Chile short notice as a random opportunity? So next thing you know, we got a list of like 17 names that are all volunteering, and you go, well, if people are going to keep saying yes, then you know. So I feel as though the balance has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, some of that depends on what your civilian job is. You know, we've got a lot of professional engineers on the outside that they just don't have the capacity to break from work. High level project managers, program managers, but you know, for the average member, I think they joined because they wanted to do stuff. And so the more opportunities we provide them, I feel as though as long as I can get the base level readiness out of them, after that, it's all volunteerism. As long as we offer them cool locations and cool stuff, then that's a win and everybody will be happy. So that's kind of my stance on it.
Does it shift or change if it's not such a cool place or
I hope it doesn't take away from a later question. My answer to that, this is what I told everybody. I literally just told my deployers, because we got 12 people downrange right now. What I have told people is sign up for the worst events. And don't get me wrong, we'll get you the good events too. It's like, the cool thing is when there's no scarcity of good opportunities, I mean, people will fight for the good opportunities when you only have one a year. When you've got six good opportunities in the year, everybody's good with it. Yeah. But the most memorable experiences, and I don't know how to phrase it because it's not the worst opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's the most unknown opportunities, the most out there opportunities. It's the weird ones that you're like, I don't know if I want to volunteer for that. That sounds weird. That will be the most rewarding experience of your life.
The fear of the unknown,
but tell you right now, the Chile event, it'll be a great event. Everybody's going to love it. They're going to go down there. They're going to have a blast. But it's just going to be another cool TDY. I'm going on Common Challenge 26 later this year, which is a mountain warfare exercise in the middle of Montenegro. That is going to be austere conditions in the middle of nowhere in the high mountains in Montenegro. That is going to be, you know, we already just got on a Bell 420 or 412 helicopter rides flying around the whole countryside. That is a memorable experience. Going to Chile, they're probably just going to bid down. They're going to see some cool opportunities, see some cool spots. Don't get me wrong, they're all good. But I think the ones that are going to be the most rewarding are the ones that really you go, oh man, that's going to be a bad one. The bad one will be the best one, because especially if you have the right people going.
Yep.
Because the people make the TDY.
All right. Where are we at? All right. Number six.
Pinko Peppers. Volcano. How far are we off from the bomb? Two more? Okay.
All right. You have to condense your entire leadership philosophy onto a single index card, what would it be?
If you had asked me a year ago, that would have been the easiest question for me, because I would have said, empower your people, trust your people, and provide opportunities and experiences, and everything else will work itself out. I still feel as though that's generically true, but what I've come to terms with is that I think it, there is no silver bullet leadership solution that applies to all units. Units are in different places at different times with different personalities, with different skill sets, with different goals, with different needs. And so maybe that new term, the new bullet card will be is albeit a little bit cheesy and too much Air Force, is, you know, just flexibility is key. Because, you know, I tried to take the exact same model and it doesn't work. I think that half of what I got credit for at the 265th was I was a very exuberant, excited, vocal, advocate person. And you would think that would apply in all scenarios, but it doesn't necessarily. I think some people are looking for a calmer, more temp, and so it really is personality based. And then I think also depending on where you're at in your relationship with that unit, because, you know, you got to build up that trust. You got to build up that relationship. They got to understand where you're coming from.
I completely agree. I was reading that book about FACE, and he's Army and he's in the Korean War. I'm like, I think these are great, like, leadership lessons, but I'm like, would some of those translate to the Air Force? I was like, they might not.
They might not.
They might not work. And it really depends on the person, the people you're leading, your audience, and the person that's doing the leading. Is it authentic to them? Like, style of leadership?
Well, and authenticity is, that one's almost always key. I think it's a good way to say it. You know, at the end of the day, our members are smart people, and they will read through and overanalyze. If you are doing something that is not congruent with what your actual beliefs are, they will smell that out in 30 seconds, and it will not go better for you. It's best to just, I've always said it, if I say it in private, I'll say it in public. If I'll say it in public, I'll say it in private. I don't want there to be any confusion, and at the end of the day, if I can't say it out loud, you know, it's actually one of my favorite quotes, as weird as it is. It's a Mr. Rogers quote, mentionable is manageable. And so if you can't say it out loud, you're not managing it. So that one's one of my favorites.
I like it.
All right.
Getting into the heat now.
Yeah. This one's literally just called hot sauce.
Right. It's got a little scale on there and it shows that it's hot.
Sweet.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm officially sweating.
I like the flavor of that one. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of an afterburn.
Yeah.
That was good. Leaders aren't perfect. Despite what rank you hold, you know, still going to make mistakes. So you can share with us maybe a mistake you made early on in your officer career, that what you learned from it, what was the mistake?
That's a tough one. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, you know, and I usually like to brief it and you know. usually do like to brief it in the squadron. He's like, you know, hey, especially in the guard, we've got long careers. We've got long careers with our unit. You will make mistakes. You will need to rebuild. You will need to work through it. Ironically, I would say as an officer, I've actually been privileged with the ability to move to other units too, that you'll break up some of those exact same things. Mistakes, that I want to attribute myself to. I'm going to do a compliment sandwich with myself. I'm going to give myself some credit and then I'll attribute myself and then we'll wrap it up. So it's there. 2015, coming back from deployment from Afghanistan, we're flying in. I don't even remember what hour it was, but BWI was closing down. Like, our aircraft was in. Our last air, of course, the international flight. Our aircraft came in super late. We're waiting on weapons. We're waiting on baggage. And because it's international, we got to take our baggage from international, move it over to domestic, which means, okay, well, TSA is closing down. Our stuff isn't coming through. And all the stuff, and it's coming off, slowly. And so I'm sitting there looking at it going, okay, essentially, we're going to take anybody we can. If your baggage comes out, you go. We said that to people. It's like, your baggage gets here. You are not waiting for the rest of the crew. You're going to get on that plane. I mean, heck, we actually had a nice public affairs. We had the governor out. We had a whole bunch of people at the airport waiting when you flew into Portland. And so everybody was just go, go, go. You get your stuff, you go. My stuff popped out. And I'm like, I can't go. I got like 15 other guys and girls right behind me, you know, waiting for their stuff. If they get stranded, this is messed up. And so we'll leave it at that. I won't attribute anybody else. But anyway, so it's like I'm just like, all right, I'm just gonna take my bags. I'm gonna leave them right here, and I'm gonna wait, and I'll join. You know, I'll join with the last of the crew. If we can get all of our stuff, we'll all go together. We weren't able to. 12 of us got stranded, I think, on or about. But so here's where the mistake comes in. We're fresh back from Afghanistan, 6 months. No morale, well, not no morale, but low morale. Yeah. And we have an opportunity to go hit the town in Baltimore area. And we did. And anybody knows that their tolerance after 6 months, I may have only had 3 drinks. And I was not okay. It was not a good moment for me. And none of us truly were ready for that moment, but we were so excited to be back stateside. It was a rough night, and then it was a rough follow-on morning. We could have made better choices. I was glad I was there with my team, because that made sure everything did go as smoothly as possible. But at the same time, you know, we make interesting choices as young people.
I think many of us have those stories,
yep,
and we learn from them. We try to learn from them the best we can.
And sometimes we do them again.
Sometimes we do them again. Oh, yeah, I'm starting to feel the heat on these. And
my sinuses will never be better after this.
We haven't swore yet, though.
I have.
No cuss words. We've had the force PA to leap out. But so I think
I'll make sure I screw that up at least once.
All right. This is the one.
This one's coded. I don't know if you need to add a dab to this, but you, by all means, I don't. Do we need to?
I'm going to.
All right. Well, we will keep the proof going. We're all proof. I really don't think it's a good idea, but that hasn't stopped me before, I suppose.
This can be a mistake.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, this is like sludge. Like it. It's going to be a dab. It's just. There we go. I put a dab on there.
All right. Next question. Give me a scenario in garrison, downrange, when you're working on a mission or in a mission, leadership style doesn't seem to be working, and you have to pivot or change your leadership style.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk during this.
Every breath you take it.
Yeah, it's got my lips now more than anything. I guess I'll just, I don't want to say go with generic stuff, but you know, as you work with different people, different personality types, it becomes very clear that you need to change your style based on how things are going. I usually try to force myself to be as, and don't get me wrong, if anybody talks, you know, Shout out to Chief Skeen. You know, he's just like Lieutenant Jordan was. I won't say the swear. Lieutenant Jordan was terrible. You know, he was, you know, micromanaging. You know, always in the weeds on stuff. So natural as an evolution of my career, I've gotten better at trusting individuals and working. Knowing who I'm working with and what their capabilities are, and I still to this day love working with Chief Skeen, because he, you know, and this is what I expect from a good chief. He'll kick me out of a room, and I'm perfectly okay with that. You know, take that one look at me and be like, "You don't need to be here. You need to leave." And it's like, my chief said it. I'm good. I'm out. Deuces. But you know, there's still those times where it's like, okay, you know, what do you guys need from me? How can I support? You know, are you guys getting what you need in order to get this done? And sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, it's a really dumb example. I'm going to steal some of yours now. You know, it's not a favorite story. It's just, it's an example of like sometimes where I was like, I feel as though I should get back and engaged. You know, we had a, you know, at the time, probably a tech sergeant. He did this great project at Kabul, and everybody on the team got an Army decoration except him. And it was 100% just an administrative error.
Oh.
And the guy at the end, especially as they're giving out the awards, he's like, what is up with this? How did I get left out of this? And a bunch of good acting, good trying, good motives, good intentions, master sergeants spent a year and a half fighting with the Army to try to amend the order to get him added. And I get brought in after a year and a half of fighting. And they look at me and go, what can we do? We've given up. I'm like, well, first thing you should have done is called me like 9 months ago. Like, we're already well pacified. Like, the people that were there aren't even there anymore. Trying to get this fixed now is just almost impossible. But it's like, if we want to acknowledge the member for his work, let's go do an Air Force Achievement Medal or a Commendation Medal. Let's go publish it right now. We can publish that today. Let's go do that. And they're like, we can do that? It's like, of course we could do that. What are you talking about? But the point is like sometimes we just need to get involved to help out, because sometimes the gears just get stuck working a process and you're like, guys, we need to pivot and just move to the next step. And sometimes that's throwing a big spear. Sometimes that's, you know, just taking the, I don't want to say the easy route, but taking the clearly established route.
Yeah, so yeah, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes when you think this is the one way and you better keep running against that wall and keep throwing your head against that wall, you come out pretty battered and bruised afterwards.
Exactly.
Not willing to make that pivot change.
All right, so it's all easier after this, right?
I hope so.
Now we're on
that
to...
was brutal.
Yeah, that
I'm
was...
glad you got to do most of the talking there.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
This is the scorpion sauce.
Let's look that over there. Scorpion sauce. All right, that sounds terrible. Once again, good flavor, but we'll see how much it kicks at the end.
When was the last time you think you've learned something from either... a junior officer or a junior enlisted person? What was it? What did you learn?
Well, geez, I mean, I'd be foolish if I didn't say I was constantly learning. At the end of the day, like I was alluding to earlier, times are changing, culture is changing, personality types are changing, styles are changing, information is changing, AI is here, I like to call myself a geriatric millennial. You know, I'm on the outer end of that cusp of these are the normal things for me, while it's native and normal for them. So the things that some of our members are able to produce and do and learn and figure out is literally next level. Try to think if I could give you an exact example, but at the end of the day, I mean, there's just so much change going on in the world today right now that, I mean, there's not a day that goes by where I'm not impressed or surprised by what somebody else is doing.
And how adaptable it seems, especially in regards to technology, young folks are, and how, I mean, I remember having to learn all that stuff early on and trying to learn C++ and playing in my room with that kind of stuff, and these kids are just picking it up
quickly. It's just natural, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Whew.
Last one. We're gonna do this. I'll let you do the honors.
First, I was
this time.
Saving these wings. I was like, I'm gonna finish some of the meat off these. Now I don't.
There
know
is no need for that.
I don't know if I'm gonna do that.
All right, and so then
this last one,
the last dab, over 91% pepper X sounds exactly inappropriate.
Pepper X is supposed to be the hottest pepper in the world right now. All right, so this is going to be kind of a three-part. I'm going to ask a question. You give me your first thing that comes to mind, and we'll try to do it that way. Go quick, rapid fire. Let's get the plane back on the ground.
Okay.
Safely.
Let's land this plane. Yeah, is it safe to drive after this?
A little break. All right, the book question. One. Mm-hmm. Non-traditional, non-manageable book that you would recommend to leaders. I've already mentioned a few. Just give me the first one that tops off your head.
Sorry, non what?
Non-traditional, no, not like meant for management.
Not meant. So like we're talking like fiction, non-fiction, or like an enjoyable book.
Whatever goes.
I mean. So I'm just going first off to Ender's Game.
Ender's Game.
Love Ender's Game. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a fist bump.
There we go. Boom.
One of my favorites.
All right.
And that series, have you read through the whole series?
I read Love the Bean series, the trilogy on Bean, Ender's Game, Secret for the Dead.
All right, where would leadership land on the hot spot scale for you? Scale ones at that, our Scoville scale, millions, I don't know. I'm just hurting.
I'm sorry, where is management lead? Or where is
leadership, where would leadership, where would you put? Just a fun question, leadership. Hot sauce scale right now. Where are you feeling?
Like how many Scovilles?
Yeah, let's go for. I'm not that familiar with the Scoville scale. Just go 1 to 10.
All
right. Hot.
We're hot.
All right. I'm leaking out of my face right now.
Yeah.
All right. One piece of leadership advice you would give to the world right now.
Go do the crazy things. Go sign up for the missions that you're not expecting. Raise your hand for the things. That's where you get the experience. That's where you get the fun. That's where you get the memories. Following everybody else's road doesn't do that. Sign up for the stuff that nobody else wants to sign up for. You'll have the most memorable career.
I learned that from a good friend of mine. He was always the first to volunteer. Check ride. When we were first getting our first check ride, he's like, "All right, I'll go first." Like that initiative and doing that first and just getting it out of the way pays dividends. Learning new things, always. Not being afraid of different experiences. Oh, I'm toast. That was painful. Colonel,
hey, thank you.
Thank you so much. This was a great.
I will. Oh, do I? Is it my turn now?
Yeah, you. Yeah, please. Give it to us who you would want to put in that seat you're sitting in right now. Who is the next officer that you would want to see up here?
So prior to experiencing this, I was going to be nice. I was going to choose, I was not going to be adversarial about it, but now I'm going to be adversarial because this is brutal. I think our current BAO, Major Adam Rodriguez, is due for this experience. I believe he's coming back in June, maybe July, so we might be able to take an opportunity when he's back here, but I think the BAO for Montenegro would be an outstanding choice for me. From me. Ooh. I'm salivating.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Is there anything else you'd like to, final words you'd like to leave us with? Let you keep talking.
pass that over. We got a lot of good stuff going on here in Maine. I've not seen this high of a level of enthusiasm, excitement, opportunities. The numbers of, obviously there's a lot going on in the world right now that's making people, we've got a lot of stuff going on, but we've also got a lot of stuff in the hopper. We got a lot of cool opportunities between, like I said, Montenegro, Chile, an exercise called CASE. We've got numerous exercises across the states. The opportunities are limitless for our guardsmen today, and we need to take every opportunity to get those opportunities to get out there, not only have fun, but we're trying to get to readiness. We want our people to be ready. And the question is how do we get people motivated and ready? And the answer is we need to build experiences with training opportunities. And when we combine those two things and give people the enjoyment and the fulfillment, and we all joined the Guard probably because we wanted to travel to some degree, we need to give that to our members. And if we give that along with the experiences and we make fun experiences built into readiness, we're winning.
Agree, 100%. Well, respect. Thank you very much. Right. We made it.
Made it.
Colonel Newell, on his first episode, ended us with Dirigo.
Well,
so we'll close it here. 1, 2, 3. Dirigo.